Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful December 30th, 2017. Just a couple of more days, and there we are. Oh, my. Anyway, it goes fast, doesn't it? In the last few days here, you could do something really awesome with your life and helping other people. You really could by becoming a sponsor or making a donation at least to the cause that we're working on here to keep Aspire on the air. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that all of this gets to happen. And I am honored to be here to offer all of this to you, but we need your support. And our mystery donor for the next couple of days here or so, well, really into, I think it is the 6th or 7th of January, is going to match your donation. So if you become a sponsor, you get matched whatever you give. Let's say you do $25 a month, he will make it $50. If you do $50 a quarter, he'll make it $100. And this is how we sustain ourselves. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts, and you get a lot of really wonderful things for your donation. The message of the month, the access to all of the discourses I did, 200 and something discourses for TV. You get to listen to the podcast and watch the video cast and read the commentary twice a month. There's some really nice things there to help serve you if you're sincere about the authenticity of your practice. That's really very, very important. I think that what most of us do is we miss our lives because we are so busy with our lives, what we think is our lives, and it really isn't. We pretend like it is, but it really isn't. Our life is the quality of consciousness that we develop within ourselves as a way of living. It is a very important very important experience to have this kind of understanding. So I hope that you will avail yourself and become a sponsor. Let's get right into it today. I have some interesting questions for the last couple of days of this year that I think are going to be very important. And it's about the first shall be the last and the last shall be first. And I had these questions come in over the last 6 months, so I've kind of put them together, and here's what we got. This one is from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. What did Jesus mean by the last shall be first? The general interpretation of this is about people. And this is how your local minister herds people into the church. You won't go to heaven if you don't do whatever is said. So let me give you another take on it, another kind of push. We have a value system. We have things that we consider to be very important to us. And these things usually have to do with what we're afraid of, how much we're afraid of things and what we're afraid of. All of this stuff tends to be very important to us. Very, very important. So the object of the game for most people is to be first in everything they do. But what makes me first in this world makes me last when it comes to the development of consciousness. We are not here to be the richest and the famous and the most popular. We're not here for these reasons. We are here for the sake of the awakening. And should that awakening occur, should you allow for that awakening to occur within you, much can happen. This spiritual awakening of consciousness is where we have the ability to realize what often we call in the work self-realize. But I like to take this self out and just say realize. Realize what? It's all about love. Every little thing we do, everything matters as love. So the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He is talking about priorities. We take what should be first and we make it last. I mean, how many of you seriously look into your life and consider the whole idea of spiritual awakening? Really? Never. And when you're angry or when something is very difficult in your life, like your health or maybe a member of your family going through something difficult, then everybody kind of looks at it and goes, oh, God, save me. That's when it becomes first. But when it's a chance to really shine, to do something out of the box, to do something way out of the box, something that your ancestors wouldn't do, something that a normal person in this society wouldn't do. When you are in that place where you could do something immensely compassionate and loving and kind, and yet would seem absolutely ridiculous to the state of your mind, the ego, the vanity, the pride, the sense of security where you're worried about your own neck. That would be something else. That would be something very, very interesting. Would you extend yourself beyond the logic and reasoning of your own mind, the logic and reasoning of your own security, the logic and the reasoning of what keeps, let's say, body and soul together? What would you do? Would you do something like that? Most people would not. 90%, the pedestrian mentality does not do anything to serve humankind at all. All they are interested in is what they want, what they can get, what they believe in, the whole thing. So we live according to rote. So what's the first thing on your list, Carol? What's the first thing? Probably survival. Some sort of survival where you're trying to survive through money, job, yada, yada, yada. And then there's the survival of what you want people to think of you as being, the survival of what it means to be you and be popular and be liked and be loved, to be maybe a part of a pack, you know, like animals do. So you look at all of this, you see all of this, and you ask yourself, how did I get into this place? What happened? At any given moment, Carol, I can find myself in a predicament. And I can sit there and I can analyze, this isn't fair, this isn't right, how did I get here? There must have been some mistake. But the truth of the matter, the real truth of the matter is, I'm in that predicament because I took what should have been first and made it last. My loyalties are not to love. They're to loving another person, maybe. So I'll get love back. But that's not love. Human love is never authentic love. It is always something that bites us in the rear end later on in our life. So it has nothing to do with all of that. The love that we believe in, the love that we have, the love that we live in is never true love. It is the love of my ego, my vanity, my pride. So, and this is especially true with our children, by the way, especially true. You wouldn't love your kids if they didn't come through your body. If they weren't related to you, you'd look at them just like they are anyone else. That's interesting. But you would never go that far to help them as you would your own, what I call your own loin, that which came out of it. And thank you so much for making that person. We're just so grateful here on earth. So when you start to see all of this put together, you have to reevaluate your values, Carol. What do I put first, love or do I put human love? Most people don't have any idea what the big L is all about, big love. They have no idea. They are not interested in finding out what the big L is. They are only content with the idea, as long as they have someone loving them, someone in their life that they believe loves them, that is enough. And that's the way we live our life. I can't talk anyone down from that. I don't even try. It's ridiculous. And if they don't get it, they don't get it. And if they do get it, well, there's nothing left to say, is there? Just think about it, Carol. I hope it helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a very good question. She started this out about 3 months ago. Let me go on to some other one. Here's one from Jason. What should be the first thing in our lives to consider as being important? I'm really very confused, Jason. Well, if you go by your urges, your human urges, it'll be that you are concerned with your body and the health of your body. That will be the first thing. Then your finances, your survival. And those will be basically the first two. And then the third one is, where do you fit in the pack of human beings? Who are going to be your buds, your friends? And how are you going to live with these buds and friends? And what do you have to be in that certain pack? So those are the three things, my dear Jason, that most people get involved in and are very wrapped up in. So if you're going to be the pedestrian mentality, that's what you're going to do. But if you want to do something, let's say, a little more creative, a little more authentic, ascending, I like to think of it as, if you want to do something ascending, then you have to start looking at your life from another premise. What should be first? First is love, real love, authentic love, the big L. The second is, how may I accentuate that love? And the third is, to be willing to pay the price that love would need in order to manifest in your life. That has a lot to do with my karma. There are a lot of things that we did in this lifetime, all of us, that were unkind. And they were things we did because we thought they were right. We thought vengeance and pride and anything that related to pride and the idea of rectifying a given situation made everything right for us to do. So if we did something unkind or ugly or whatever, that was perfectly fine. Absolutely perfectly fine. But for those of us who wanted to do something a little more powerful with our life, a little more ascending with our living, we wanted to do something that would create a different kind of karma. We're all subject to it. It isn't about bad karma and good karma. It's about a karma that would awaken things within me, awaken my heart. So I would start saying and doing things that would awaken that spiritual heart. Not clinging to the past, not clinging to what was, what used to be. I have people who think that working on themselves is torturing themselves with all the crap that they did in the past. And that's not working on yourself. That's just torture. It is about acknowledging where I used to come from or where comfortable came from. What did it mean to be comfortable? Where did I come from in everything that I did? Now, once I begin to understand where I came from, what I come from, and it's usually about me being self-absorbed. It's about my own survival and how comfortable I am. When we get to that place where we are moving away from being comfortable and having what we want in order to serve something bigger inside of us, in order to feel a sense of let go, of everything that we've ever done in our life that has been selfish, we come to a very unusual place. This is a place that few people go to, very few. And they find it difficult to go there because it's hard to get there via ego, pride, and vanity. Just hard to get there. But people try. People try. A lot of us live as if we have nothing to renounce. We live as if we did nothing unkind in our life. And that always blows me away. That absolutely blows me away, where people live in a place in their life where they think they've done nothing unkind with their living. I did nothing wrong. I look at it and I think to myself, how did you get to that place where you believe in your own mischief? And you think that in that mischief, you were perfectly, at peace with the idea of hurting another person because they hurt you. Or pretending to be someone you weren't, and you were just doing that to be a part of a flock, a pack of people, a tribe. If you really start to look at all the things you and I have done in the course of our lifetime, in the way of our life, you begin to see that we betrayed ourselves, and we continue to betray ourselves through the lack of generosity that is necessary to live a conscious life. To achieve inner consciousness, a higher state of consciousness, a person has to be immensely generous. You have to be willing to give and give and give and forgive and forgive and forgive again. This forgiveness and giving puts me in the flow of the accelerated heart, the spiritual heart, the authentic heart that is seeking to find the way of life that is absolutely perfecto. Perfect life lives within you. It's not a matter of the outside. It is a matter of the inner. It is in the consciousness of us that we find that beautiful, perfect life. And when we do, we find that nothing can distract us from that perfect life because it is absolute love. It is putting what should be first, first. And what should be last in the considerations of my acts and my actions, such as vengeance and pride and ego and vanity, last. That is extremely important to understand. It is very difficult for human beings to get this. Very difficult indeed. And the reason most people don't is because they're afraid of how they will survive, if they will survive, and the way they will survive. They just are so deeply afraid of it. But when you start to live your life as a manner of spirit, as you are living temporarily in this human body, it is very temporary. Once you understand the impermanence of life itself in this world, that's when you can understand why it would be important to put what should be first, first, and what should be last, last. You can do this. Anyone can do this. It's a matter of priority and practice, priority and practice. And when my priority is my practice, that is when I have come into that very special loving place called consciousness. Jason, don't be confused. Why? You're confused because your ego is telling you one thing, and maybe your heart is telling you another. Maybe your heart is saying, let go of all of this craziness and go to love and just be brave and be generous and forgiving and do those things that make love possible. Don't worry about making love. Let love live you. And if you do any of this or all of this, a great wisdom will descend upon you. Trust me, it will. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. The last one comes from Heston. He does not tell me where he lives. Can anyone be first without being religious? I just can't go to church. I can't do all that stuff. I am just willing to pay the price, but I don't want to go to church to pay it, Heston. Heston, I'm with you, baby. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. Can anyone be first without being religious? Yes. In fact, you can't be religious and be in the first. I can't be a religious person living in guilt and shame and putting that first in my life in order to sustain any kind of inner awakening. It just can't be done. It won't be done. It isn't done. So, yes, you can do this, and you don't have to go to church to do it. You can go to the church of your heart and sit and be quiet. When I was teaching formally, in a setting that looked like a church, I turned it into something that was the opposite of church. I let people talk. When I was giving discourse, they had a question, I let them ask. At the end, I'd ask questions. I was very thorough about what it was that I was doing and how I was working everything. I was very thorough. Well, everybody wanted the church. So, you know, there was this kind of resentment towards me for changing everything and making it a place where a person could first learn, then awaken to what it meant to learn without thinking, without knowledge, and find the authentic knowledge which lives within the heart of all of us. It's all about love. Well, people didn't like that, you know. So I went through about two or three in my lifetime as a formal teacher. When I was teaching that way, it was, how many years? 25 years, something like that. I went through at least a dozen congregations, at least. It was amazing. And it wasn't fun, believe me. I have more knives in my back than you can imagine. So the effort here is, don't go to church and think you're going to get it that way. Get into your practice. Find an authentic practice. I offer you an authentic practice. Get a hold of me. I'll help you. I'll teach you how to meditate. I'll teach you how to do catharsis. I'll give you a regimen, a daily regimen. I will give you things to work on. If you become a sponsor, you can get the message of the month and the commentaries. That'll help you. If you really get serious, you can get the discourses. They are very intense and very, very helpful. They are for a very unusual person. I make discourses every month. You can order any of them. Start listening to them. I give you a full-on way of starting your own spiritual practice without the need for going to church. But if you need to go to church, you need to go to church. And I'm not trying to help that person because they're already hooked. I'm trying to get people off of the, not the marijuana, but the church juana. It's like a dope. And a lot of people think that they have to go through this dopage to be saved or to be a good person, and it's just not true. So there are a lot of things open to you. And Heston, if you're really serious about this, I would begin with the idea of maybe listening to some discourses. Go listen to the Beatitude discourses I did. They're very powerful. I would start, maybe call me. We could do a little chat. I could set up a regimen for you. It all depends on how serious you really are. The way is here. It's staring you right in the face. But will you understand it? Will you recognize it? Will you do it? Thank you for your beautiful question, Heston. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow, New Year's Eve Day. And I'll have a very special one on New Year's for you. I have some really interesting questions. Have a wonderful day. Again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.